Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Was Zacchaeus really lost? Unethical, perhaps. A self-conscious little man trying to compensate for his short stature? Well, maybe. Asserting himself to make sure that he was not overlooked by his peers? Could be. Stingy and egocentric as he attempted to elevate himself with illicit revenue gained from the hard-working folks of Jericho? No doubt true. But lost. Separated from God and living under divine condemnation and headed for an eternity in hell. It's the consequence of life without Jesus Christ. Really that desperate. Really that bleak. Was Zacchaeus really lost? Commenting on the theology reflected in the Second Vatican Council, Herman Sasse observed that after the council, it's hard for even a self-respecting pagan to go to hell, according to the Church of Rome. Hell is not a popular topic in contemporary theological discourse. One recent book by a German systematician on eschatology doesn't even have an entry for hell in its index. It is said that Christianity must be understood as inclusive, all-embracing, inclusive even of so-called anonymous Christians, people who are Christians even if they don't realize it. It is argued that the scope of God's mercy is so wide that the thought of hell must be dismissed. If that is the case, then St. Luke got it wrong. Zacchaeus was hardly lost. Perhaps Zacchaeus was lost in the vast emptiness of his wealth, imprisoned in his greed. Perhaps he lost his identity as a Jew in exchange for a career of profit as chief tax collector. It could be that he was troubled by an uneasy conscience over his less than honest tax assessments. If that is true, then Zacchaeus could find his life by adopting some moral principles. No doubt he could work at his addiction, finding a support group to hold him accountable. No doubt he could even go down to the synagogue shop and buy a "What Would Moses Do?" bracelet to remind him of the principles of the law. For after all, if you know the law, the old Adam says you ought to be able to do the law. He could go to a self-esteem seminar for short people. He could get some career counseling and find a better job, a job that would be more moral, a job that would give him a better self-image. Now, that is all well and good, but Zacchaeus would still be lost. He would still be living a life under divine condemnation, a life that was headed for an eternity of hell. This son of Abraham would still be an enemy of God. He would still be dead in his trespasses and sins. Zacchaeus was lost. Not simply confused, misguided, or unethical, but lost. so lost that he could never find himself, so lost that he could never navigate his way back to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, no matter how hard he tried, no matter how hard he wanted to do better. Zacchaeus' condition is that of all humanity, apart from faith in Jesus Christ. It is spiritual death, not mere emptiness or meaninglessness, but a life that is lived under God's wrath, awaiting a death that brings God's judgment, hell. Zacchaeus does not find himself. Even though he climbs up in that sycamore tree to catch a glimpse of Jesus, he does not find Jesus. Jesus finds him. When Jesus lays his eyes of mercy on Zacchaeus, he calls him down out of the branches. He says to this stubby little tax collector, "I must stay at your house today." This is the must of divine necessity. Just as the Son of Man must go to Jerusalem to suffer, die, and rise again, so must he be with lost sinners like Zacchaeus. For the Son of Man is the one who is known as the friend of sinners. So much is our Lord's desire to be the Savior for Zacchaeus that he must be at his house, that he must be under his roof. That is the way of the one who came to seek and to save the lost. He is Emmanuel, God with us. God with us so much to the point that he puts himself with us, taking our sin upon himself and carrying it to the cross. He is the God who comes to visit his people with mercy in place of wrath, grace instead of judgment, forgiveness of sins rather than condemnation. In short, where Jesus is, there is salvation. Salvation resided at the house of a tax collector because Jesus Christ was there. Now Zacchaeus, the lost tax collector, is found. Indeed, he is a true son of Abraham because he belongs to Christ and is an heir according to the promise. Today, salvation has come to this house. Salvation comes because Jesus comes. When Jesus preached at the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth, he announced, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." When Jesus absolved the penitent thief, he comforted that criminal, saying, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Now he comes to the home of Zacchaeus and proclaims, "Today salvation has come to this house." Salvation not in some distant future, but here, right now, where Jesus is. Jesus comes not because Zacchaeus mended his ways, denounced his life of greed, and made appropriate amends, although Zacchaeus, moved by the generosity of God's goodness in Christ, would indeed give of his possessions to the poor, and restore with fourfold abundance those that he had cheated. But that's not the reason that salvation comes to Zacchaeus. Jesus comes simply because he is the Son of Man who seeks and saves those who are lost and condemned creatures, purchasing and winning us not with silver or gold, but with his own holy and precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. That's the kind of Savior that he is for Zacchaeus and for you. Today, salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.